it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Baseball present. Baseball past. Gonna share a few stories. Gonna have a few laughs. On the Jim Day. The Jim Day Podcast.
All right, here we are again. Welcome into the Jim Day podcast, everyone. Thanks for checking us out. And we're, we're going rookie again. We got Graham Ashcraft today. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing very, very well. Now, you, I don't know, I'm going to start right out. You live in the dream, man. How's this been? You've been not only, it's your rookie season, you made your MLB debut, and you've been solidly in the rotation, but you've had success. I mean, are you living the dream right now?
Oh yeah, I mean it's definitely something I've been working hard for.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of nice to see that everything's kind of getting put together. I mean, there's still a lot of work left to do, but I mean it's definitely along the right path.
When you were in the minor leagues, you had that label of, man, he's got some nasty stuff, but boy, he walks a lot of people, hits some guys, so you're gonna have to put up with that. We haven't seen that. I mean, everyone's gonna have their games where you have more walks than you want, but not at an alarming rate. How were you able to master that at the hardest level?
I mean, people always said that it was like the control thing. I mean,
yeah.
You go back and look at games. I mean, the umpires down in the minor leagues are very inconsistent. So
you don't say. They can be that way up here too.
I mean, they're that way up here, but at least they're more consistent than down there.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was definitely more of going out and pounding the zone, and like there were some times where down in the lower levels, there was times I overpowered guys, and I mean, if they weren't able to put the bat on it, the umpire would missed calls, and then it would just one lead to another, me getting frustrated and kind of doing too much in a sense. But I mean, it's just, I think a lot has to do with just, I'm comfortable. Like I trust the guys behind me. Like I know whatever happens, the play is going to get made. And I'd say that has to be do with a big part of it up here. Just, I can just go at hitters.
Well, I was in early minor league camp, early February. And I was the only media, early broadcaster down there, really the only media guy down there in Arizona. And I would get my colleagues that would say, all right, who do I keep an eye on? And I kept, and Chris Welsh will vouch for me, I said, you got to see this guy, Graham Ashcraft, throw the ball because I'm able to stand right out there. There's so much access. Mm-hmm. I'm able to stand right behind the fence, right behind you where you're throwing the ball. And I'm like, man, I haven't seen a cutter like this in a while. And it cuts late and it's nasty. And it's high velocity. And how do you throw it? Have you always had that much movement? And are there times where you can't control it?
I mean, it's been kind of a learning curve because before my hip surgeries, my ball actually ran. It was more of like a two-seam runner. And it at times it would cut, but it wasn't very consistent. Like it was just one of those where it was like, didn't know which one it was going to do, but it was more likely to run than cut. And then I happened to have my hip surgeries in college. And when I kind of developed through that process, through the rehab of getting a little bit bigger and stronger and coming back from the rehab process, the ball started cutting a little bit more. And it was never enough to where I noticed it.
Yeah.
'Cause unless like I had metrics in front of me that was like, hey, like your ball's moving this way. Like we want to try to keep it. We want to get more vert or whatever.
That's vertical.
Yeah, because that was the biggest thing. Because
it's like veto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. Because in college, it was just kind of never knew what it was going to do.
Yeah.
Got drafted, 19. Still kind of the same thing. Started able to pound the zone a little bit better. Starting to just kind of get my feet back under me after being out for 2 years because of my surgeries.
Right.
And
What surgeries, by the way?
I had two hip impingements on my right and my left hip. My right hip went first my freshman year, and then my left hip went right before the season of my sophomore
year. Wow. Are you okay from that now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problems. I try to do the best that I can of making sure I get stretched, do Pilates, like make sure I keep my mobility up in my hips. So
sorry
to
interrupt
that
you
problem.
There. I just want to know
No, it's fine. But then Bodhi came along after I got drafted, and they were like, hey, let's try to like work on your vert. Like, let's try to get that ball to like ride through the zone harder.
Yeah.
So I started throwing the clean fuego balls. It's the puck ball that's flat on two sides, and it's just it makes you, if you get around, if you cut it at all, it turns into the nastiest slider you'll ever see.
Wow.
And nice. So they had me throw that for a while, and it did, if anything, it made the cutter what it is today. And so they were just like, all right, let's roll with it. Like, this stuff isn't seen. Like, this pitch isn't seen often. Let's just see what happens with it. And that was when last year it just kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I love, and I've professed this before, I love pitchers that pitch to soft contact. Strikeouts are great. There are times you need strikeouts, guy on third base, less than two outs, et cetera. But wanting to get a guy out in the first three pitches with soft contact is the way to go if you can. And the cutter plays right into that. And I love that you are totally into that philosophy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something I was preached whenever I was a young kid in travel ball. It was always, we want to throw no more than five pitches a hitter. We want to try to get them out within three pitches and no more than 15 pitches an inning. And
that's beautiful.
That was a philosophy I grew up with. And so
get you deeper in games.
Yeah, that's been my mentality this whole time. I mean, of course there's innings where I go out there and I little sporadic, little wild, things aren't syncing up, but then they kind of get narrowed back in. And so that's my favorite way to look at it. If I can go out there, I can get a hitter out within three pitches and no more than five, I'm doing the right thing if I'm doing that.
Have you always been an emotional pitcher? Because when you do get a punchy or you get a big out to end an inning, you're not shy about letting it out, which I also love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, part of it, I black out a little bit because I get excited because, I mean, I want my team to get jacked up. And, I mean, there's times where it's needed and there's times when it's not. And, I mean, the biggest thing is being able to feel the situation, like, when you need that like kind of spark to like get everybody else fired up.
Yeah.
Cause it's not just like I'm fired up. Like I'll be the one to tell you, I get jacked when I'm pitching cause I love doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I know when the guys behind me see a big situation and they see me do that and they see me get fired up, their adrenaline spikes and they get ready. They're ready to roll.
Have you noticed how much guys love playing behind you? I think a lot of it is that soft contact, but it's also the success. Have you sensed it? You got a smile on your face. You've had to have sensed it.
I mean, yeah, I sense it a little bit, but more it's just like I just feel like they know, like, all right, let's go. Like, we're about to get either soft contact, like we're ready to roll. Like, they're anticipating it.
Wow.
Instead of so much of just sitting back and waiting.
Well, earlier in the season, you probably don't know this story, but you were taken out of the game. It was like May, probably in the seventh. You pitched really well. And there's a player that was on the field at the time who's going to go unnamed, turned to the rest of the infield and said, I think we just watched our best pitcher. And I think Castillo was still on the team at the time. It's like, I think this boy's nasty. That makes you smile. I mean, how have you had, and I love your mentality. This is where I'm going. And I think they like it too. After one of your first starts, it might have been your first start. I don't even know. You're facing Juan Soto. It was with the Nationals.
That was
the first start at home. Okay. You're facing, and he was with the Nationals at that time. You got him out. It was a kind of a big situation. And after the game, you said, I know about Juan Soto. I know how good he is, but he hadn't seen my stuff yet. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a rookie. Wow. Wowzers. Have you always been that confident?
I mean, yeah, because, and people always say, like, well, like, you're cocky. Like, they might ask, like, well, do you not think you're cocky? And, I mean, in a sense, like, you have to be cocky. And I don't look at it as being a cocky person. I'm confident in my stuff. Like, I'm not going to be the one to go out there and say, hey, like, my stuff's the best that it is, but I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to go and I can get you out no matter what. Like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to throw my best stuff on the line. You might get lucky one at bat, but 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get you out.
Wow. All right. Now, one thing, you're a sweater. You, you perspire a lot. Now, I'll go down the dugout steps and I'll be like, why are their jerseys hanging down here? What is that? Why is Ashcraft's jersey hanging down there? How many do you go through at a start?
It depends. If it's humid outside, like, I mean, it can be 75 degrees with 100% humidity. I'm still going to go through about 3 or 4 jerseys.
So the over-under is like 3, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, if we're going to St. Louis, take the over because it is the hottest stadium I've ever been in.
Isn't it? I always try to tell people, they're like, what's the hottest cities? You know, they'll name the one, you know, obviously Phoenix, but it's an indoor stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in Florida, I'm like, you don't understand. St. Louis is a different hot.
I don't know if it's just the way that stadium's
built. I don't know.
But it holds the heat in, and it is terrible. I don't see how those guys do it day in and day out.
Well, they used to play on AstroTurf at Old Bush Stadium.
Oh, I couldn't imagine that.
No, they would, like, plastic cleats would melt. They would fry eggs on the AstroTurf. It would be so hot.
That's
insane. It'd be like 120, 30 degrees. They're, like, moving around. Outfielders had to keep moving because they're
in an outfield
because their feet are so hot. So they don't have that many jerseys, right? I mean, I know there was one point they didn't have as many jerseys on the road, and they had to, for lack of a better term, they were like hair drying it. They had a big blower on the jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, after that game in St. Louis, because I only had 2 jerseys. I had 2 red ones
and 2 gray ones.
Yeah. But now I have 3 of every jersey because I sweat so much. Yeah. So they'll go in and they'll take the one I just took off and they'll throw it in the dryer just to dry it out real quick and then put it in a fan to cool it off. So that way, if it is a hot day and I'm just running through them, I at least have a dry jersey that's not burning hot because it just came out of that industrial dryer.
I love that you were revealing yourself like that. He's a sweater, folks. He's a sweater, but he's working hard out there. What's the biggest surprise for you? Has there been one?
I would definitely say the biggest surprise probably is, like, honestly, like, how, like, I wouldn't say easily the guys, like, kind of took me in, but I would definitely say, like, how welcoming everybody's been. It hasn't been, like, you hear all the stories of, like, the rookie stuff.
Oh,
like,
it used to be bad. That. It's totally changed. It completely has changed.
I mean,
now,
from the stories I've heard, it definitely has. But, I mean, the guys just kind of, like, have taken me in. Like, they've welcomed me. Like, I've made lifelong friends just within these 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And it's been great. I mean, it's probably been the best, like, one of the best parts besides getting to go out and perform.
Oh, the rookie hazing was bad. It was never to the, like, you hear these terrible stories of, you know, physical injury and hazing in college or whatever. It was never like that. It was always funny stuff, which I thought was funny. It's not funny anymore. If it offends someone, then it's, you know, you don't do it anymore. But they used to dress the rookies in dresses. I mean, and dump you off on Michigan Avenue. Now imagine, you've been to Chicago, Michigan Avenue. It is like one of the busiest pedestrian streets in America. Far end, and you'd have to walk clear down Michigan Avenue as a group in dresses. So it's come a long way.
Well, and it's like, those stories are funny. Like, it's not just like, there's some you hear and you're kind of like, dang, that's tough.
Yeah, but there's some that are way out of control.
But then there's some you hear and you're just like, okay, like, that's a story you're going to tell for the rest of your life. And no matter who you are, you're going to
laugh. Oh, the pictures were great. I mean, there's pictures that I see guys will show over there. You remember rookie day? And then, you know, it's these two standing there as rookies, great players that became great players. So you don't have to deal with any of that anymore, which is good, because there's no reason to make your teammate feel alienated, particularly starting pitcher. I mean, let's face it, they need you. So I love that it's much more of a, I guess, it's kind of like a family atmosphere. They just welcome you in. You're kind of like an in-law all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They just kind of welcome you in.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned friendships that you've made. You rookies hang out. See it all the time. When I see you, there's Lodolos in tow or greens somewhere far behind. In the dugout, when you guys aren't pitching, you guys are sitting there together. I know that you and Lodolo live in the same complex, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so how this friendship, does it start there with those two?
I mean, this year has definitely been more for, like, I've gotten to know Hunter more. I haven't played with Hunter, haven't been around him because he was in the draft class above me. And so, like, this year, like, getting to be around Hunter, kind of getting to build that bond of a friendship has definitely been a lot better, getting to learn who he is as a person and all that. So it's definitely been great. But I definitely say the person I'm probably closer with would be Lodolo because we're from the same draft class. We've played together in Chattanooga. I mean, we hung out this past whole spring training. Like, past couple of years, me and him have gotten pretty close. So
we
go and play golf together whenever we can. Like,
right now, he's a different bird now. I just had him on this podcast. Don't know if you know that or not, but we got to know him a little bit. Man, he's a different guy. He's just as easygoing as you can get. Not into music. Doesn't really have a whole lot of hobbies. Just easy going. How was it like hanging out with that?
I mean, there's more to Nick than what he says. I mean, that's for sure.
Is he putting up a facade?
No. I mean, when he says like his only hobby was like golf, that's his only hobby. Like, that's about the only thing that he does. I'm trying. He's gotten into hunting with some of his buddies back from school. I'm trying to get him to start duck hunting with me. I want to try to get him out and let him kind of experience it.
Yeah. But, no, he said Brandon Williamson, who's in AAA as we record this, was college roommate, best friends. And Brandon comes up from Louisville when he has off days. And he said, you and Brandon were talking about hunting. And Nick just like checks out. Like, I got nothing to offer. I just sit there at breakfast and a half an hour. I got nothing.
He has no idea what we're talking about, but he loves listening to it.
Does he? Well, all right, let's talk. You know what? This just popped in my mind. I always think of things like this. I don't know why, because I'm a nerd. But a reality show. You think about the three of you. Lodolo, you, and Hunter Green. Hunter Green, the SoCal kid. Even though Lodolo grew up in Southern California, but he doesn't seem like a SoCal kid. I mean, he seems more Texas. Easygoing, not much going on there. Hunter Green loves the arts, loves music from SoCal, high profile, and then you're a country boy. I think this would be a great reality show to follow you guys around, see what you talk about. How's that mesh together?
Oh, I mean, it's and you always think like, oh, like the two worlds could never collide.
Yeah,
but it's. I mean, it's we all have that common ground. Like, there's things we all enjoy. Like, I mean, me and Hunt will go and we try to find like a cigar bar or something to go hang out and. And then,
see, that's perfect. That's an episode right there. We're going to the cigar bar.
And that's the thing. Like, you're trying to be a team. You're trying to bring each other together and like make a family with it, because that's the best way to succeed is everybody being a unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, finding small things that even if it's a small thing, like the smallest of all things, like, oh, like, well, you like going to eat breakfast. Well, I'm an early riser, so I'll go eat breakfast with you.
Yeah.
Like, just to go get to know guys. I mean, that's what it's all about. You can't just take a whole season and not go do anything and just be like, I'm just going to be a loner and sit in my room.
Now, do you often talk about the three of you could be the cornerstones of where this organization wants to get to? They're building within, and you guys could be like the big three, starting pitch. I mean, it starts with starting pitching. Have you talked about what the future may hold with you three in the rotation?
I mean, there's times we have, but it's –
Do you sense it at least? Do you like?
Yeah, like, I mean, we all know what the future could potentially look like, and it makes us excited. We have a lot of drive for it, but at the same time, like, we still have to learn. There's still a lot of stuff for us to learn. I mean, we're young. Like,
well, you'll never stop learning in this game ever.
Yeah, and it's just I think it's just the process of us having to learn more things, like just learn how to be a better teammate, learn how to make sure that we can help each other out. Like, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, yes, we have DJ and Jags, but at the same time, like, your teammates also one of your best coaches too, because they see your throwing partner plays catch with you. They see your stuff more than the pitching coach does.
Right.
I mean, so it's just more of learning of how we can be better about helping each other. Like, the big picture stuff is always in the back of your mind, but it's just stuff. I mean, we don't really talk about it that much because it's like, we know it's there, but we're more about like what's going to help us right now.
Right. Yeah. Who's your throwing partner?
They don't like to throw with me.
That's where I'm going. You know exactly what I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking, man, one, you're really hard to catch. Catchers love you to throw to them because of your success. But, man, it's tough because you don't know where that ball is going and that thing's cutting late and it's just pass, you know, or wild pitch city or pass ball city even.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why? Because that thing is just moving.
Yeah, they're like, well, you don't know which way it's going, and it's coming in pretty hard. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mainly play catch with our bullpen catchers. Yeah. Yeah.
They've punted you down the line
yeah.
to the bullpen catchers.
Yeah, because so I threw.
They got shin guards on, or they can.
Yeah, because I threw with Nick all spring training. Like, I mean, we threw for the good portion of spring training.
Yeah.
And after that, he was like, I don't want to play catch with you ever again. He will if he has to, but he prefers not to.
Well, you know, it'll help your fielding prowess as well if you're catching that cutter all the time.
Well, I mean, he says that about me, but I don't like catching him either. I mean, I was a left-handed hitter whenever I used to hit, and I hated hitting off lefties. And then you got Nick, who throws like Randy Johnson,
yeah,
just long
big
and lanky,
and
coming from
yeah.
low three quarters.
Yeah.
Especially when he starts throwing that slider, I don't know what to do. It scares the crap out of me.
Life is full of questions. Like, when should I start thinking about life insurance? But however difficult these questions may be, Western and Southern can help you answer them. Backed by over 130 years of experience, together we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind. Western and Southern Financial Group, life insurance, retirement, and investments.
Products issued by member companies of Western Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Jim Day here. I've teamed up with Swift to bring you the sounds of summer. And the sounds of summer. With the freshest selection of cuts, from ribeyes to chops, Swift keeps this going all season long. Baseball and grilling. Ask for Swift Meats at your local grocer.
Good food, good moments. One great meal. Come together with Swift.
All right, let's get to know you a little bit. Where were you born? What's the exact town?
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville. How could I forget that? I thought it was a little town outside of Huntsville, but Rocket City. Mm-hmm. Huntsville. So what was it like growing up in Huntsville?
Oh, I mean, it was great. I mean, I had two older brothers, so they're 8 and 10 years older, so I was way younger.
Yeah.
So it kind of helped me kind of grow up fast in a sense. Yeah. But, I mean, I love the town. I mean, me and my wife have talked about if things line up for her with work, like the place back home, she would love to go back and work there. She likes the town. It's not too big. It's not too small. Like, you kind of get the best of both worlds. Like,
yeah.
If you don't want to be in a huge area, you can move just outside of town and be in a little
right.
bit smaller subdivision. It's nice. I mean, and it's Huntsville's growing a lot, and it's growing fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting
up there. It's one
of
those hidden gems that people talk about. It used to be, a long time ago, Austin, Texas, and now Austin, Texas, this huge city that
mm-hmm.
you know, people have moved to. Hopefully Huntsville doesn't get like that.
Yeah.
I found it interesting. You told me this story in spring. Your wife, she's in the studying in the medical field. Is she through
yes.
school yet?
But no, she's...
You moved with her to accommodate her school, right?
Yeah. So during the off season, I'll be in Harrogate, Tennessee. That's where
yeah.
she's at for school.
Right.
She's in physician assistant.
Yeah.
So she just finished up their first semester. I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago, which was anatomy. And so now she is, they're starting up the medicine side. And so they'll have that for, I want to say it's like 2.5 months or something like
yeah.
that. And so by the time we're done with season, she's got 10 more months of school. And then she's got probably an 8 or 10 month of
yeah.
clinicals. So it's going to be a grind for her. That's for sure. But it's yeah. So I'll be moving there right after season, and it was nice. I got to meet the head coach at the school, the baseball team, during the All-Star break, and he told me he was like, "We want you to come hang out as much as you can. Like, you can come work out at our facilities, come throw
great.
Bullpens.
That's like half the battle right there.
Finding yeah,
a place
and,
to do it.
Yeah, and so it was nice like getting to meet him, and he's
yeah.
he's a younger guy. He's in his young to mid 30s, and it's going to be nice knowing that I'm welcomed with open arms by the head coach, and I met the president of the school too. Yeah. And he did the same. He welcomed me with open arms and all that. So
Huntsville, so you might go back there and make that permanent. You're a smaller town guy, so do you feel like it might be a blessing in a sense that you're a Cincinnati Red? Because Cincinnati is, again, you can make it into a small town as you want, and you can also get that big, mm-hmm. bigger city feel. Because I know we've gone on the road. There's a few cities that you're like, man, there's too many people here.
Yeah, I get scared in some of the cities. I won't lie. Some of them, you go outside, and it's just like there's way too many buildings, and there's way too many people. I'm just going to go right back to my room.
Yeah. Well, Cincinnati would be a blessing in that regard, mm-hmm. I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Like, I live over on the Covington side.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's great. Like, you're not just bombarded with buildings and people walking all over the place. And there's a lot of places that's close enough that you can go out and walk to.
Yeah.
And you're not having to worry about some sketchy areas or yeah. sketch balls walking around the streets. So yeah. it's nice.
Well, Wade Miley told me the story. In fact, he told it on this podcast. He's like, the first time he's... country boy through and through. I mean, really. He's first time he went to New York City. Might have been his rookie season. He went outside the hotel. He saw a 3-deck, as he calls it, McDonald's. I saw triple decker McDonald's. I started crossing the street. People were honking at me. There were thousands of people everywhere. He turned around, went right back to his hotel room and hibernated the whole time. The only thing he did was go to the ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that I went out with Mike Minor in New York, and we went to the mall, went and just walked around and just kind of yeah. saw it. And after that first day of walking around and seeing it, I was like, I'm okay. I think I'm just gonna hang it up and stay in the hotel room, because it's not something I want to go venture out.
After 3 days there, I'm like, man, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like to visit.
When we had that off day there and had to spend 4 days there, by that last one, I was itching. I was like, get me out of this place.
Yes. Just the bus ride to the stadium alone, you're like, I couldn't do this every day. There's no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I don't see, I mean... Maybe if you live there, it's different, but or maybe playing for the teams there, it's different. Yeah. But being a visitor to go play there, right. It's like, goodness, right in the heart of downtown. It's like, I can't do it.
Now, one of the things you've been blessed with is you've gone to some iconic stadiums in your rookie year. I mean, the schedule's going to change next year, where I think the team, you guys are going to play everyone. So it's going to be a little different, but for now, it's, you know, you don't always go to Yankee Stadium. You don't always go to Fenway. We do go to San Francisco, but you got Yankee Stadium. You've gone to Fenway. San Francisco is a cool atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Wrigley, you've pitched in Wrigley. I mean, that's pretty exciting for a rookie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely been an amazing experience getting to go to the stadiums, getting to see the history, like, going to Fenway and walking into the Green Monster and see all the signatures.
Yeah.
I mean, going to throw a bullpen and seeing Mariano Rivera's signature out in the bullpen and the picture frame. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, getting to go out and just see the history, get to see how beautiful all these stadiums are and how they're in places. Like, some of them in the big cities, you're like, how is this here?
Right.
Like, it's a baseball field in the middle of a giant town.
It is.
And so it's pretty awesome to get to see that and getting to see the different atmospheres, like getting to play you're getting to play at some fields that legends played at. I mean, guys in the Hall of Fame that have been legends for years and they're going to be legends for years to come.
Yeah.
And so it's been pretty awesome.
All right, I'm going to backtrack. I can't believe we've gone this far into the podcast and I did not bring this up. I am sitting here talking to Douglas Graham Ashcraft. He's laughing. Can you tell the story of how they started calling you Graham? Why you go by Graham?
So whenever I was a kid, my mom didn't want me to be called Douglas because it would get shortened down to Doug.
Now, why? She just didn't like
Doug? She loves the name Douglas. But yeah. My grandfather's name is Gary Douglas Joyce.
Yeah.
And she likes the name Douglas, but she didn't want to be called Doug because then she's like, if you're going to be called it, I want you to be called Douglas.
Which people don't do.
Yeah.
And my brother's name is, my oldest brother's Douglas, and he's Doug.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's kind of ironic because she didn't want it to get shortened to Doug. Well, it turns out my nickname from like high school, college is Doug.
Did they find out about that? Why did they start calling you Doug?
They found out about it. A couple of the guys found out about it, and they started calling me it, and they're like, why are you calling him Doug? And they're like, his first name's Douglas. And they're like, what? I thought it was Graham. I'm like, no, my mom didn't want me to be called Douglas. She wanted me to be called Graham.
So once you told them that, oh, we're calling you Doug. You're Doug. Even your Twitter handle, your social media, aren't you Doug?
Yeah, I've been called Doug for so long. It's just kind of one of those things that it's just, I've accepted it and soaked it in.
Well, what does mom think about this? Did you bring anyone over and they started calling you Doug? And she's like, oh.
So my high school coach, he had me in his English class my sophomore year of high school, and since he has all the papers, like, he started calling once I started playing high school ball for him, but he saw that my first name was Douglas, and so he started calling me Doug, and so all the other players started calling me Doug, and so it's kind of stuck since eighth grade freshman year, and so I've been called it, and Doug, I think Doug's been my Twitter handle since I was a junior in high school when I got Twitter.
So what do the players now call you in the clubhouse? Are you Graham or are you Doug?
It depends. I get called Ash. I get called Doug. I get called G, Graham. I mean, it just kind of depends on the player. Like Jax calls me Big Country.
I love that. See, you're not the first to be called Big Country. Jags is Eric Jaggers, by the way, for people that don't know. He's the assistant hitting coach.
Pitching coach.
He'd kill me over that, you know, because you guys don't like hitters. There's a certain saying that you guys have about hitters, which I love, which I'm not going to say on this podcast. But there's a dislike for hitters. So I apologize, Jags, that I just said hitting coach. That's very, very funny. The assistant pitching coach. Calls you Big Country.
Yeah, he's called me Big Country for a couple years.
Ooh, this might have to stick. See, if we take this to TV, then it's going to stick. So
Oh, that's fine.
I mean, all right, I got the approval. Big Country will be hitting a mound here soon. So why did you ever think about, okay, I'll just go with Doug. I'll just go with Douglas Ashcraft as my name. I mean, you're Graham Ashcraft when you're pitching. We call you Graham. So... Did you ever think about going?
I thought about it, but I don't know. I think Graham Ashcraft sounds like a better baseball player name than Doug Ashcraft.
It is a good.
Because I feel like Doug's somebody that works in an office.
My brother Doug works in an office.
So that's why I'm like, Doug Ashcraft pitching on the mound. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I think Graham sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, although I don't know if Graham goes with Big Country. I guess it could.
If I say Doug's an office name, it's not a country name. So
Doug goes with Big Country, though. And starting for the Reds, Big Country Doug Ashcraft. Well, we can go with Big Country Graham Ashcraft. I like it. I like it. Big Country. Speaking of music, what are you into? I'm going to guess country.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to about everything. I mean, I don't really have like a specific genre that I listen to. I mean, there's one I listen to the most, and it's probably like, it's country music. I mean, it's kind of, you know, people can get all technical with it. I mean, they can do it. Like, I mean, I mainly probably listen to outlaw country or Texas country, what people call it, where it's like Tyler Childers, Colter Wall, Peaky's, what is it? I can't even remember the name of them. But I mean,
that's all right.
Yeah,
name isn't important. It's the music.
But it's just like I don't have a specific one that I'm just all out for. Like I listen to a bit of everything.
All right, Lodolo listens to no music.
That he doesn't have a walk up song.
I know. I've talked about it on the air. I talked to him about it on the podcast. He's like, just play something.
They need to play crickets one time when he's out there pitching.
Crickets.
Since he doesn't have a song, just start doing cricket sounds, so that way he has to pick a song to play.
I love this. Yes, we can scheme to get one. Why? He's such a simple man. I recommended Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simple Man. He's like, if that's a song, fine, whatever. Yeah, like, it's a song.
He doesn't care. He just doesn't care.
He really doesn't. So, have you ever been driving with him where you're like, dude, can we put on some music?
I mean, most of the time, like, if in the car with him and his girlfriend, or sometimes if it's just him and we're not going far, like, we'll just talk, so it's not much music being played. But if it's going on a good drive, like a good little drive, he'll play something. He'll just put the radio on. Half the time, I think he just puts like Spotify or Pandora on and just doesn't even pay attention to what the song's being played.
Man, if I could be that simple. There were simpler days. He would have fit in like in the 50s and 60s. There were simpler days in this world. He could put him, transplant right there. He'd be good to go. But I love the dynamic between you guys. He says he's on Twitter, and the only reason he's on Twitter is to keep up with the world, what's going on. What are you the same way?
I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. As bad as that sounds.
Not bad. Hey, listen, I used to be into it so much, and now I don't, and people that follow me will know this, I don't do that much anymore. I'm on there, but it's more to promote stuff, which is bad, but I just got the noise, man. There's so much noise, and there's
so much fake news and all that stuff.
I used to be a news junkie, a political junkie. I used to follow all that very closely, and now I just can't. I just have to block it out.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it as I'm just going to take it about my day, and I'm just going to do what I want. Damn, I'm not going to waste my time. Like, I'm not a keyboard warrior, as I like to call them.
Well, I call them keyboard cowboys. as well, so yeah, no, I get it. So what's a typical day? If you have an off day, and let's say let's say you're with your wife, you have an off day, what are you guys doing?
Well, if it's with the wife, since we don't get to spend much time together, since she's normally in school and having to study,
right,
like she'll come out, we'll go get breakfast, go get some coffee, go out, go back home, get the pup, take him on a walk, maybe take him down to the river to swim, hang out down there, let him kind of burn some energy for a little bit, maybe an hour or two. Go back, shower up, get dressed, and then I'll take her shopping, or we'll just go somewhere to go walk around and just look at stuff. I mean, we like to stay busy. We don't like to just sit around and all that.
That's good.
But
what about if you're with teammates or you're just with yourself? What are you doing without the wife?
Well, with just myself on an off day?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't have to go anywhere to be doing anything. Like, if the weather's good and I have the itch and I got a place to go fish, I'm probably going to go fish. Or, like, I had a guy end up reaching out to me that said I can go turkey hunting next year. And turkey hunting's in the spring. So, at the beginning of season, I'm probably going to be turkey hunting in Kentucky.
Uh-oh. Look out.
So
there'll be plenty of it down there.
Yeah, so it's just things like that. I mean, if I'm not going to fish or hunt and I'm by myself, I'm probably just going to stay in and just relax and veg out. But if it's with teammates, I mean, like off days, like if we're on the road, it's definitely like a let's go out and do something. Like let's go out and go eat, go walk around, kind of just go sightseeing.
Yeah.
Like, or there was one time we went and we did a, what's it called? The escape room. And that was fun.
I've heard of it. It's like a game. Is that a game?
Yeah. So they put us in this room and there was three rooms in it. And you had to like break out of one into the other to break into the other one to get whatever was in there to win the game. And so we had probably like 12 or 13 people there for that, and that was fun.
Team you had?
Yeah, it was a mix between team and staff.
Oh, wow.
And so it was fun. Like, it was fun just getting to, like, all hang out and, like, solving stuff, cracking jokes. Like, it was just a great time.
Wow, very, very nice. All right, well, I've probably kept you long enough here. Big country. He's coming to a mound near you. I got to ask you. You haven't hit the rookie wall yet, right? I mean, they're gonna.
No, I mean,
unfortunately, they're going to shut you down at some point.
Yeah, September. I mean,
have they talked to you about that?
No, they haven't.
But you know, it's probably coming.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep going and doing what I'm doing. I mean,
it, but you're feeling good. You're going strong. You get stronger as the game goes on sometimes. You're going into the seventh inning. We're in August, the dog days. It doesn't seem like you've hit that wall.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's more during the game. It's more like the day after or day two. It's more that, but it's also it's in the process of the workouts, the conditioning. Like, you got to keep the body maintained. If you don't, then that's when it's going to shut down. When we were in New York after the Milwaukee start, I was tired that next day. I was really tired. And we kind of were like, all right, we got to go do about something different. Like, we can't either got to ease up on the workouts or we got to shut down for a day completely. And we ended up taking 2 weeks of kind of a deload, lower weight, lower reps, just kind of let the body reset.
Yeah.
And we did that, and then that kind of boosts me back up to kind of get me back going.
Very smart. That's good. Now, your number 50, here I am a couple minutes ago, so I'm going to turn you loose, and the question's just popping in my mind.
I got plenty of time. I'm all good.
You wear number 51. Now, I'm old, and when I think of 51, I think of football. Dick Butkus. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's one of the nastiest defensive linebackers you've ever seen. Like, he was just nasty. Are you going to stick with 51? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, number doesn't matter to me.
Does it?
I mean, if I came to spring training and it was like, hey, you're number one now, all right.
But, wow. Some guys are very particular about it.
No, I mean, I've gone from number 41 to 27 to 49 to, God, what was I in Louisville? I think I was 51 in Louisville because I was 51 in spring, and so I just kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. I think 51 fits for big country, Graham Ashcraft.
and too, it's just easier to keep a number, especially if having to writing autographs for fans or something. You go switch numbers. I can't tell you whenever I switched numbers from Dayton to Chattanooga how I messed up autographs people.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel terrible. So I'm just like, I'm just going to stay with the same one, make it easy on myself.
There you go. Now, when you first, you mentioned the minor leagues. When you first came up, we talked about command. There was also I don't know if he's a starter. Could end up a reliever. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get Nick back in here and ask him. I mean, I thought I was going to be a closer.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get called up this year and I was going to be in the bullpen. And then that maybe by chance I'd take a closer role.
You'd be a nasty closer, by the way, because you could really let it rip out of the bullpen now. But I'll take a starting pitcher over a closer.
Anyway. Yeah, but I mean, and God's got a plan for everything, and it just so happened he took a different route than what I thought he was going to take with me, and I'm grateful for it to be where I'm at.
So. You'd rather be a starter?
Yeah, I mean, being here now, I love being out there and taking control of the game and being out there for a long time.
Ah, I love it. I love watching you, man. I love it. And I love that you're a simple guy and you're revealing. You're very nice. I can talk to you on game days when you're pitching. I've probably brought this up too much, but Lodolo's the same way. I think the first day he was starting, he's like, hey, how you doing? I really didn't say anything. And he's like, what's wrong? I go, you're pitching today. I'm like, because I don't care about that. I'd rather you talk to me. Don't ignore me. There's some guys you just don't look at.
Yeah, I mean, and it's everybody's different. I mean, everybody's got certain tics. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you're walking around the dugout out there on your start day. A lot of guys don't come out until.
Oh, I mean, I can't be the one that just sits there and just looks crazy in the corner staring at the wall. I mean, I'd rather be out there.
There are guys that do look crazy.
I'd rather be outside. I'd rather be hanging out, talking with some people. I mean, going about my day normal as it is. I mean, I know when it's time to flip that switch and get on the aggressive side, and it's an hour before the game, 30 minutes before the game.
Yeah. Now, do you listen to music when you got headphones? A lot of guys put the headphones on, have certain music.
I'll pop a headphone, one earbud in just so I can listen to something so I'm not just sitting in my own thoughts while I'm watching BP.
What prepares you the most? What makes you get nasty and really get after it?
I mean, probably whenever I hear my walk-up song when I'm at home.
Which is?
Sold Out by Hardy.
Yeah. That gets you going?
I mean, yeah, it's more of just when that starts playing when I'm on the mound at home, that's all right, it's time to lock it in. It's time to roll.
Roll, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, man, I hope you'll come back sometime, and we'll talk more about you and your ascension to the major league. Let's go elite. I can see you being in the elite category. You guys got it going on, man.
Well, I appreciate it. We still got a lot of stuff to work on, a long yeah. ways to go.
Well, I'm glad that you realize that as well. And scouting reports catch up to some guys, so, you know, sophomore season might be tougher. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But just I wish you nothing but health. I think if you're healthy, you're going to be successful. So
I appreciate it. And you'll have to let me know if they say that they want to hear about some hunting stories or anything next time.
All right. I do get a lot of feedback on this podcast. If they want hunting stories, we got them. In fact, we'll make Lodolo. We'll do a you and Lodolo together, and we'll make him sit through them. How about that?
That's fine by me.
Actually, we should do a podcast with you and him. Maybe even Hunter. Just a group thing. But definitely you and Lodolo. Yeah, we're going to, in spring training, we're going to have to do you and Lodolo together. Are you in for that?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I can get him out for duck season and we can get a good story of him slipping over and falling in the water.
Listen, you've got to get video of him. Like, if he, like, puts, you know, you guys got the hunting gear. And if he's doing stuff wrong, we need to see this or at least hear about it, document it somehow. All right. I look forward to that. I cannot wait for this now for spring training. All right. Appreciate it. Lots of luck to you. That is Douglas Graham Ashcraft, Big Country Graham Ashcraft. As always, thanks for checking out the Jim Day podcast, and who knows, we'll be sitting across me in the future, but we thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you on down the road.
Baseball present, baseball past, gonna share a few stories, gonna have